I trusted God for more than just a brief encounter. So I kind of waited, and I was one of the last ones to meet him. And then he took me aside. He took us and my family into his office. And he started telling me some of the highlights and some of the great things that he's seen God work through him do in his life. And so he showed me some pictures that he had mounted in his office. And in 2010, there was 500,000 men that came to his farm. And just things like that. And he says, listen, I'm not showing you these things to brag, because we could take it in different ways. But he says, I want to inspire you for what God has for you. So that really stuck with me. I would love to meet him again one day. I know, listening in my truck, in Acts, the disciples came together and they encouraged one another and told them what God was doing as they were traveling abroad, as they were starting to preach the word out. So I seen that and I thought, that is the purpose. That is why Pastor Corey has asked if I'd share. There's a purpose for, and it's biblical, to hear what God is doing. And even as before I show you anything, I remember I think it was the first time I came back from India. I've been there 4 times. And I was sitting in church in here with you guys. And as a kid, I used to hear stories and missionary stories of God doing miraculous things and around the world. But in my heart, it was for other places, because that's just what just the way I understood it. And I was sitting here and I realized, no, God, you're no different. You know, if you've never been in some of those places, we sometimes would say, man, God might move differently over there. But it's not true at all. You know, there's no difference at all. And I don't feel any different ministering there than here. I don't feel God speak to me any differently there than here. There's no difference. And so if maybe some of the things you'd say, wow, what God would do in India, it's what we allow him to do through us that makes a difference. Not, and if we see God differently there, then he probably will act differently, because that's the way we see it. Should I be up here, or can you all see me okay? I might be a little bit too low for you. There may be, just I don't want to leave people out in the back, so. As I was thinking about it, and I know in 2 Corinthians 11, you don't have to look there, but it says that there's a simplicity in the Christ. So I thank God that it's not just a simple-minded gospel, but it's a simplisticness of believing and walking with God, or else I'd be in trouble. Just a little humor on my own side. I don't know if it's a humor in it. It's a challenge I face. Is I can ask somebody's name 20 times and I got to ask a 21st time. And I've traveled so much, and I feel very bad about it, because so many people know your name, and there's people that I should know them because I've seen them enough times. And maybe that's why spelling is so hard. It's to remember the letters and putting a word together. I need to ask at least 50 times before it starts to stick. And I thank God that we can preach the gospel even in a mind that doesn't have the intelligent capacity that we can get on our scorecards at school. And yet that doesn't make us stupid. It's just the way we're made. At least that's my defense. So I believe God loves people more than I could ever imagine before. And sometimes when we're ministering and praying for people, we just hug people. And sometimes in some cultures, and we don't just specific to any group, but some of the women can get treated kind of rough, you know, and they're kind of bartered basically for commodity, and, you know, they do everything, and I don't think that they've seen a lot of love. And I've seen where we've hugged ladies that are grandmothers and older, and just a hug, And you just see them break down and weep. Because I know it's not me hugging them, it's God. And when we go out and in our life, anywhere we do, I see in like one of many verses, like the word just needs to be turned into our life. Like there is nothing else. This becomes, not that I know everything of the word, but the word, if the word isn't our life, and it talks about Jesus talking about the word being his bread, and if the word isn't our bread, if we aren't hungry for the word like our bread, we will miss the relationship God has for us. We can only know God if he is our word. And Jesus talks about how the word became flesh, but so I start to see that this word is Jesus Christ in print. And Jesus is that close. Like he is that close with us. And when we get an understanding of that, we definitely won't want to leave it, but it'll also completely change the way we understand and read it and the way it'll change our life. So I want you to be able to see the pictures were taken on a fairly poor video camera. We're not going to do a lot. There won't be a lot. If you want to see India, you can YouTube it and you can see mostly what I've seen. But my true heart is actually for North America. India is like a stepping ground. I trust for North America. The last week I heard a story about Jonah. And just listening, and you know, Jonah, I don't think he was such a great evangelist. I think he had some issues, right? He got swallowed by the whale and all kinds of stuff happened with Jonah. But Jonah went to Nineveh and the whole place repented. And that was a wicked place. And I know I have kids in school and maybe I'm a little naive on the farm, but Manning might not be quite such a hot place itself. You know, Manning, maybe we have a few struggles in the peace region in the north. But Jonah was a place that probably was worse. I don't know. And yet that whole place turned. And when one of the services, I prayed and said, Lord, give us Canada. You know, not in a, just enough maybe, man, give us a hunger. Man, the whole cities and regions can be transformed. When I'm over abroad and I'm ministering, I'm not a cowboy. We're a farmer, but not a cowboy. There's other guys of you that are cowboys. I'm not. I've never even tried a lasso, but I picture myself. I believe God desires to picture us as like cowboys when we minister. And just in our daily life, it doesn't have to be on a pulpit. But I believe God's desire is that we can pull people in with the truth of the gospel, with the love of God, like a cowboy that catches that calf. I just believe with all of my heart, if a person outside of the church, outside of knowing God, understands who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we can like lasso him like that cowboy. And we're not like, it's not a mean thing. But if they could comprehend the fullness of who Jesus is, it says the love of God compels us. And it's like we do not let them go. Our neighbors, our people. So yesterday we were at a funeral and there's I think it's a third cousin of mine. But she's married and I had never met the husband. So I just kind of was playing silly with him and I just said, I got to speak to this guy. So I said, hey, man, are you a Christian? And he kind of looked at me. I could tell in his heart, he's not just a loud, monstrous guy. He's a kind-hearted, peaceful-hearted man. Well, no. So I said, oh, thanks for being honest. And then I just shared a little bit, and I just told him and just spoke with him, and that didn't repel him at all. He was drawn. And I'm not saying that we had a prayer of salvation there, But I tell you, I know that he encountered something that he hadn't experienced before. That's God. And that's for all of us. That's for all of us. So let's just show a few things. If we could just, how do we get that one light? Let me pray. My Father right now, my Father. Lord, if you don't go before this word, if this isn't your word, Lord, then we can't do anything. But Father, I trust and I believe with all of my heart that this is your word this morning. Lord, I believe this is your heart. I believe, Lord, that, Lord, that you would do something in all of our hearts. God, that you would inspire us. Lord, that you would touch us. Lord, that you would touch each one of us in a greater capacity to love, in a greater capacity to know you, so we can represent you for who you are. Lord, as Nineveh was transformed, Lord, even by a man that doesn't sound so perfect, but yet, Lord, that whole place, it says, repented. Lord, give us a vision, each of us in our hearts, that the people around us, the people that seem comfortable where they are, that you would give us a vision that they desperately need you and that they're waiting for us to show them who you are. Lord, may you go before this service. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, impact each of our lives. God, in Jesus' name, amen. So this is a country of India, and Calcutta is on this side. And right in the middle, there's Bangladesh, which I didn't realize. And then you have more India on the other side. So over where this is, there's a pin. That and Kohima, this is the areas that I've mainly been in. So it's very far away from the rest of India. And it's close to Myanmar, which is by Burma. And it's on the other side of Bangladesh. So they really don't look like what we think of as Indian. So if we just jump in one more, that's a closer shot. So you can see a pin there. That's Mon, and there's a district. I'll show some pictures there. Kohima is the capital city of Nagaland. And Calcutta, we also were in some of these island regions in Calcutta, which was very amazing and very different than the other area. You jump again.
How do you like that for people? So we're getting ready to cross on a little boat ferry. And we're looking for some oranges here. Have you ever seen anything like that before? That's a crowd. Yeah, we were just walking along and all the markets. See all the people, all the horns. So this is kind of just on the outside of Calcutta, and there's some islands. And there's my team waiting for me.
So we're in Chenwetnu.
Just stop.
And
there.
We're doing three nights.
Oh yeah!
Let's see what kind of. So what we are showing there is that was near Calcutta area, and that wasn't in the city. That was out, and there was kind of a wharf and some ferries running, and people were loading stuff. And it was just busy, very busy. And it was just very, very different. I don't think we can experience something like that around here. And Jaden had put this together, and he wasn't with me, so this is kind of like putting together a jigsaw upside down for him. So we're just kind of going through some pictures here.
We're in Chenwetnu, and we're doing three nights of gospel crusades. And just look at their building, a stage. all the bamboo structure. They're crawling.
So.
Oh yeah!
So there's a few little pictures. We were in a very mountainous area called Chen Wet Nu, and not that you need to remember that, but we weren't going to go there. Our original plan was to go about 30 kilometers away in a much larger center called Mon, and that's a big center. So our plan was to go to Mon, and we were expecting very large crowds. But what happened is the church that we were organizing through were saying there's school exams, and it seems they're always doing exams there, but they're doing tests. And so they said, you know what, you're not going to get many people. You got to come a different time. But for me coming, we couldn't change the timing. So they said, why don't you go to this place? So this place we went to, these are all the same pictures, is a fairly remote village. But then you could see off this way a couple miles, there's a little village. And off this way a few miles, there's another village. And they've never had an outdoor kind of gospel crusade before. So the area is predominantly Christian in Nagaland. But it's a very, if you please understand, it's a very traditional form of Christianity in that many of them have never even understood that we can ask for forgiveness and be forgiven. And we can have a relationship with Jesus, and that we can be born again. So all the towns have it's a real big, Baptist church is the denomination. I'm not saying it looks like our Baptist church, it's just that's what it is. And so the Baptist church is in the background, behind, we don't see it. And they didn't want us to do outside. They said, you guys, why don't you do it in the church? But they've never been outside of the church. And their mentality and thinking was, you only could worship God in the church. So they would be there, I think it's Wednesday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And if you didn't go, I'm sure you had to go to some kind of a confession or something, because you had to go. So the farmers would walk in from the fields. They had to be there Wednesday night. And we wanted to break some traditions that they had. We had to break those things. They had to be set free from that. It's not wrong. Church isn't wrong. I'm not against church. But that whole thing, and it had just rained quite a bit, and everything was quite muddy. And they said, you know what? It's not going to work. And it was kind of cold. It wasn't warm there. This is probably a morning session, and then in the evening that it would get dark. But in the evenings, they felt that every single person in the village was there. If we were in Mon, we wouldn't have had every single person there. It was a big place. So here, I don't know how many exactly were there, 600, 800 in the evenings, I'm not sure. But everybody. They said you could go to any house and you wouldn't find a single person in the house. So I says, the Bible tells us that man directs his path, but God, how does that work? We can plan, but God will redirect. And you could look that and you can find that there. So there's a place for us to make plans. Do you know to go forth? And Lord, what do we do? And then God redirected us to this place. And I knew that was God. We were praying for some people, and maybe just go to a couple more slides. Yeah, this man, the village told us he was about 100. They don't know his age. They don't have his birth date. But they told us this man is 100. And as we were praying for people, he talked about how God just came right through his body and his joints and everything felt so free and good. and we asked if there's any testimonies. And he's kind of known in the community as the old patriarch kind of guy. So he came to the mic and was telling everybody what happened. And that was so powerful. It's one thing for us to say, but it's so much better for their own people that they respect in an elder to speak about what's going on. And so even during the day, we found people were nonstop coming from neighboring villages because they would, the local guys would say, you have some more customers. I didn't call it that, but they did. But we literally had people in between services. It was just a steady, like we think, oh, maybe we can go have a nap or maybe we can go to our room and get in the word a little bit and get ready for the next service. Well, there was no, that didn't happen. It was just people come nonstop. And so many older people with cataracts. I know it's cataracts, I don't know, but when you're old and your eyes are getting dim, isn't that what it is? And it's okay, and medical doctors, I love them, and we sometimes go there. I'm not against that. But I've seen so many old people. Like, I couldn't begin to give you a number of, like, eyes that could see clearly. Old people, 80 years old. And I just, to me, it's got to be cataracts, and it just lifted. And there's been times when we prayed, and first they didn't see nothing. And I remember Jesus. There was somebody that was blind, and Jesus prayed for his eyes, and at first the people looked like trees. Is that right? So Jesus laid his hands on a second time. So sometimes we can allow ourselves to allow funny feelings and what's going on. And so if nothing is changing, no problem. God, is it, do you want to do this? And just have a walk, talk with God. And of course, God loves people, man. So we just, okay, no problem. So we just go again, and maybe I need to give him something more. Maybe I was in the flesh, you know, a little bit chicken or not doing what I needed to do. And we just seen time and time again. And to see these old guys just kneeling down, everybody talks about 40 years ago, there's books written about a revival in this region in India, Nagaland. You can go there and read all kinds of books about a revival that took place 40 years ago. And all kinds of stories about what God was doing and showing up in different ways. And the old people were not telling me directly, but telling other people, saying, this is like it was then in that time. So, and I spoke to them and said, guys, this isn't something that has to come and go. This isn't a foreigner's thing. This is God. And the other aspect of this village is the pastor that was there 25 years, and he left the morning after we got there, not because of us. He was leaving the church, and he was going to another place. And then another minister was going to come in, so we came right in the middle of a transition. And I just, that was a God thing that put us in that place. So we'll just see a few more pictures.
You can see the river, all these boats are getting ready. You can see all the boats on the other shore. And where are all the boats on this side? And we're getting ready. Missed it. He was hand cranking the engine to get her started. And you can see the rope, throttle there. And we are off.
So how do you like that? Anybody want to come for a ride? And I know one of the guys says these are government inspected boats. That's pretty funny. But I guess we were okay, and they just load them up. Like, it's unbelievable how much weight they just stack on. And we went up. This is in the Calcutta area, so the time frame kind of bounces around a bit. But we went up. It was at least 3 hours we went up this river. And some of these islands have never heard the gospel. At least according to, there was a one guy that is going, and that's his heart, is to reach these islands. And so we just went and we ministered in a couple different places, and it was very good, Just keep jumping. This is on one of the islands there. The guy in the blue is the pastor that travels around this area. Jesus Christ. And there's a picture, and the pastor had been there a few times, but he said he had never taken them yet to receive Jesus and to really take them through that. So I was there and I was speaking, and you know, speaking the gospel as if somebody has never heard of Jesus before. So I said, Lord, help me take them through the very basic need of a Savior, the very basics of how we are created and who we are created to be like, and to just walk through the simplisticness of the gospel. And many, many of those people had received Jesus as we asked them who wanted to receive Jesus. And I wanted to be very clear, because Hinduism is so full of gods, that we wouldn't just take Jesus and stack him up to our other gods. We haven't received Jesus. He's all or nothing. And that was my heart, and I very much wanted them to hear that you cannot maintain and keep with your Hindu traditions and have Jesus. So the pastor goes around and continues once in a while to speak to them. And that pastor there, this isn't a ploy for money, but that guy is always saying, please pray for me in my island need. And he's a very lack of funds. And I did help him get a couple bicycles last year to travel, but he's bugging me for Bibles. And sometimes you don't know what to do with those things, but I just wanted to put that out there if it does hit anybody. So now we're in Dimapur. It's the largest city in Nagaland. And Wapung, he's with Sinai Ministries, and our church supports Wapung. And they also have a school for young children and poor kids. And his wife runs a school, and the church money that we support goes to that. But Wapung is very much into doing crusades and outreaches. And I was asked to be part of a prayer team here. I wasn't one of the speakers, but this is kind of halfway through the time. And I don't know how many of you would know who's on the stage, but that's Heidi Baker. And she's internationally around the world. She travels a lot. Very powerful ministry. Her husband and her, they don't call it orphanages, but they have many, many children in Mozambique that they have adopted and feed. And they've started many churches in that area. And they just go. They just have a heart for people. And one of their mottos is just love the person in front of you. Because sometimes the task can feel overwhelming of the need in the world. But she says, but just love the person in front of you. And there she is. It was an honor for Nagaland to have her come. And Wapung that had came here, he kept sending her text messages two or three times a week saying, when are you coming? When are you coming? And she said, if it wasn't for that persistence of nagging, she said, I don't know how it would ever fit. And even her advisor says, we're here, and then we're going over this part of the world. And she says, but we have 2 days there. And they said, there's no time. But she says, no, we have to do it. So she found a way to get there, and she really, really spoke. And that's her on the stage there. And this is in the afternoon or morning. There was less people, so they had a tent over top. But there were still many people. But in the evenings, there was three or four times that amount of people that were coming. And just such a hunger for people, for God there. You never gave up on us. All of heaven shall let the future begin. So, and that's a back picture with some of the lighting, but the guy there leading worship, I don't know if you would have caught him, and he's a very excited guy. He does worship as a teaching, and his heart is a worship. He was injured. I can't remember what happened, but he something happened to his leg when he was a kid. It broke, or did he even get shot? I can't remember the detail, but the bone broke, and they weren't able to fix it, so they ended up having to remove the bone in his one leg. I'm sure that wouldn't happen in North America, but that happened to him over there. And so he's leading worship with a crutch, and he's jumping harder than everybody, and he's 40 years old. And I spoke to him a little bit, and I says, I'm sure that many people have prayed for you and your leg, and I could tell I didn't even do that. I just says, listen, I just love your heart that you're going forward, and he's not letting that stop him. He's doing a young person's energy and jumping and just going for it with all he's got. And basically his one leg just dangles, and it's about a foot shorter. There's no bone in here, so it has just kind of shrunk up. So just to see his heart with no bitterness, it's very good. And so we were invited to the governor's place of Nagaland, one of the chief ministers, I don't know exactly his title, but one of the big shots in the government. We were all invited to his house, and Wapung, he loves me, and he was his main putting this all together, this kingdom invasion event. He had many different ministries working together, so he kept telling me to get close to her and sit beside her at the table and just get to know who this person is. So he took a picture. When she ministers, sometimes, at first when I saw a YouTube of her, she was on the floor in a church and laughing and just overwhelmed by God and his goodness. And at first you can think, well, who is this? But yet, when you get to see her and know her a little bit, she just doesn't have a front. We're pretty good at North America at sometimes maybe carrying a front. And it just seems like we've embraced that here. We don't really want to be free in our hearts. And there's a place that we shouldn't maybe expose everything in our life. But she showed a meeting. There was a picture on Facebook of her and all those in her team that in Mozambique were just praying and waiting on God. And everybody is in a big circle laying on the floor. And I just saw that and I thought, man, they're used around the world. She's preaching to crowds. I think for every invitation that she goes to, she probably turns down 10 or 20. So there's no shortage. But when it comes time to, what do we do, Lord? They're laying on the ground, waiting on God for direction. And her husband normally doesn't travel with her. And I was trying to understand that in my heart. How does that work? And I shared to the board, and I got a little excited at our board meeting. And Corey said the board meeting went so late because I wanted to preach. So sorry, guys, if that was the case. But, you see, I see if God goes before us, if Jesus is our righteousness, not based on anything of ourselves, but if it's Jesus, and we allow Jesus to go before us, people aren't supposed to see us. They're to see Jesus. And all of a sudden it clicked in me. Because I want to believe the word. And how does it work that a woman who is truly used by God, and Lord, how does this work in the word? Because I can't just throw away the word and say, I guess it doesn't matter. Because it does matter. Everything in the word matters. And I just think the Bible is written in so many layers. The Bible is in so many layers. It's not a complicated. But when we get to know God, there's more than we thought. And we get to know him in a different way than we thought. And all of a sudden, we realize she isn't ministering as I am a woman and look what God can do with a woman. It's got nothing to do with that. It's Jesus' righteousness goes before us. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. So if I don't live, it's Christ that goes forth. So obviously it's not me. It's Jesus. But if we're sticking out and people see a lot of us, then we need to get behind Jesus. That's a problem if people see our flesh. We need to get out of there. Because Paul said, I have been crucified. So it's not I am working at becoming crucified. No, I have been. I have been. That doesn't mean I've never messed up. But we don't live through that. We live through the fact that I have been crucified. I am made right with God. I am a new creation. I'm not working at becoming a new creation. We're not walking as human anymore. We're walking as a son of God. So if we ever say, like, I'm only human, man, we got to know who Jesus is to know that we have been changed, we have been transformed, and we're no longer human. We're the sons of God. And by calling us only human and putting ourselves in that bracket of just saying, well, just, yeah, but I'm just human, we're taking away the fact that it's supposed to be Jesus now living through me, and I'm trying to pick up myself again. And we need to stop that. We got to stop that. We're not human anymore. That's gone. Humanness is gone. That doesn't mean I never mess up, but I don't live from that. We can't live from that. We can never live from that, guys. People are looking in the world for people who know their God and know how that has transformed them. God has transformed us if we allow him to completely take hold of the fact. Yes, there might be times when somebody will have to hold me to account and say, Chris, what you did there was wrong. And I'm going to have to apologize and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that was wrong. But just because that might come up once in a while doesn't mean I don't live from the fact that I am a new creation. I am full of God. He is in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It's not arrogance. It's not putting us up so nobody can hold us accountable, because that's wrong. That's demonic. We can become a monster if we just say nobody can hold me accountable to anything. But we also have to live to who Jesus made us to be. And God, it's only God and through the Spirit that can bring that together. So here, we'll just show a couple. This was an unplanned meeting we had, but we'll just, is there another one? Okay, we'll just stop there. We were doing some services, and we were doing morning and evening, but for a couple days, we only had evening services in a couple smaller churches. So we were asked to go and pray for a contractor and his wife in a city, and he had a very fancy house. We could only dream of living in something so fancy. So we were in two different very fancy places there. And we prayed for the lady, and she had breathing problems, and she had lung problems, and we just prayed for her. And she had a testimony of how God just immediately healed that, and she just felt an immediate change. And then she said, why don't you go to my village? Because they all have come from a village. So we went the next day to her village, which was an hour away, and we went to her village house, which was also very nice. But while we were there, we were asked, go pray for this one and that one. And then all of a sudden they said, why don't you come? There's a ladies group meeting. And I don't really know how badly they wanted us there. But anyways, we were ministering to a group of ladies. And then we were started taking into some houses. And old people, ready to die. One lady was a stroke. We'd prayed. And we've seen multiple places. I know must be strokes when the whole side of one body is basically done. And those in the medical field would know. And we had just prayed for them, and they just felt a lightness, and they started getting use back, and we had them walking. And it's okay that I don't show you all those pictures, but God just started opening doors. And then we were supposed to leave, and all of a sudden, but we have to go to this place and that place and that place, and things just opened up. And so we were sharing there. Here's another place. I was at this place last year, but we'll just go through some pictures fast. These all people came forward to receive Jesus for the first time, according to my understanding. The power of God was touching some people. I do that for God. That's why I did that. It's not my boasting, it's God. I'm boasting in my God. That's what it is. We'll just... So this here, now we're going back to this Calcutta area. He's Pintu. He's the pastor that goes to these island churches. And the other guys that are I've been with before, John. And so... Real quickly, Wapung here and his main guy, Marin, they like to, about once a month, find a couple that, or a person that is in real need, poverty, really needs some provisions. Sometimes they'll go and rebuild a house for somebody. They try to find ways to fundraise and do this. When we went to this other Chinwit Nu instead of Mon, it was a smaller gathering, so it costed less money. So we had already sent a bunch of money ahead. And Wapung asked me, can we use the money to help somebody? So the lady, this is the lady and her children. They live in a rental house. She goes to markets and sells, I think it's snails, or she sells things in the markets. She makes about like $3 a day, I believe is the number I heard. And that's really not enough to live. And so Wapung says, can we use the leftover money to bless a family and to help them? So her husband was killed in a vehicle accident quite a few years ago. And so I said, let's do that. So just jump ahead. This is the house. This is the kitchen area. It's everything. There's two bedrooms, the bedroom and then this area. Three plastic chairs is all she has, and doesn't have much. So they're going to get furniture. This is going to be very exciting for them. It doesn't change a whole city, but it's going to change their life. And they may have used the money instead to bought a new structure, but I believe it's a rented place. So if they built a new structure on the property, then maybe the landlord might decide he wants it back and kick them out. So they can keep these items if they ever move. So, that's part of Glory Patri, the physical help of people. And just jump ahead.
Hands.
God did an amazing thing in this place.
How is it? Ask him, how is it?
Look at that, eh?
Praise the Lord.
The guy. This guy right here, Viku, he's somebody that we met last year. Absolutely on fire for Jesus. And I just love being around that guy.
Listen, as we came in, we seen a man who had a somber face, and now the man is smiling. All right, look at the lady, look at Grandma. Grandma was so strong before, but now she's laughing. This is her God.
Amen.
That was a real amazing how the life just came into that guy. I believe it was arthritis. That's what it was. And the way he responded, just to love people and to see how they respond to that. It's about them. It's about them and the love of God touching them. So, So that... We had many of those experiences, and although getting a chance to preach, and I believe that we're going to continue to go back, that's what it's for. It's to see people go to their neighbor. Somebody said, well, I'm not good with crowds. I just can speak to one. That's the reason we want to go to speak to crowds, to help people go speak to one. Because that's what it is. Really, you get very few percentage of people saved in crowds. It's the one that we can come in contact with that transforms places. And the one that maybe knows our character and knows who we really are if our life lines up to what we say. If over there, I guess we can have an advantage where they have a hard time to really know my character because they don't watch me on the farm and they don't watch me day to day, even though I'm getting to know some of them. But when we speak to someone that knows us and our character will speak for what Jesus has done in our life, it means everything. I want to share a couple of scriptures. I realize, and then the time, I don't want to overdo you. In John 20, 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Isn't that the most remarkable statement that Jesus said? It's very easy to see that Jesus loves people. And it's easy to see who God is. But now Jesus is sending us the same way he is. And sometimes that can be too much. And that word can cause a red flag in our minds and believe that that can't be true. We start saying that that's got to be wrong. But the very way Jesus was sent, he is sending us. And it blows my mind. But yet when we can grapple that thing and grab that thing, everything changes. I wanna share about my true belief on how it is that it is possible for us to be and walk the same as Jesus was able to walk. And I trust that God will allow you to take this into your hearts. So let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them." So Jesus made a command. "He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The disciples were asked, and actually not asked, but commanded to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that they could go forth and represent Jesus for who he is. Sometimes we get confused on this. We can get confused. And I believe with all of my heart that when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, to forgive us, to make me a Christian, that there is an aspect of the Spirit that is given onto us. Now, I would like to tell you I could explain more, but that is what I've seen and that's what I know in the Word. I do know if we go back to John 20, verse 22, Jesus says, And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So here in John, Jesus breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Yet in Acts, he commanded them to wait until they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. So this breathing on them is not the baptism of the Spirit that we were commanded to wait for. But if we've given our lives to Jesus, God does give us a measure of his Spirit. But it isn't the life-transforming power of the Spirit to change the world that we need to represent who Jesus Christ is. I know that we have a lot of theologies on this. And I pray that I don't speak to you from a theological way, but I pray that it's the Spirit of God that just touches you and confirms if I'm speaking truth or if this is nonsense. God has called us to open the eyes of the blind and do all these things. Yes, it is spiritual blindness, but it is also very much physical blindness. But I can't do that without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Or it is my flesh speaking, and I'll be the one who will fail miserably and look like a fool. And it also says, I believe it's in Luke, but you'll find it, where Jesus tells the disciples to wait until the promise of the Father, to wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it would be better for me to go, that way you can receive this. Because as long as Jesus stayed among the people, the empowerment of the Spirit didn't come. It came for a certain specific task, but it never came to stay with them day by day like he wants to give us today. This is the very heart of what I preach in India. And I can't speak here without going the same way. You see, it is so mind-boggling and mind-blowing to realize that Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, wants to merge himself with me so that when we go out, we become another Jesus. Not the Jesus, but another Jesus, to multiply himself all over the earth. Jesus had to be full of the Holy Spirit. You read in Matthew chapter 4, but Luke chapter 4, and you see in Matthew Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came on him. And that is when the Jesus' earthly ministry became what we know him to be today. And we need to rely and wait for that same promise, the same empowering of the Holy Spirit, like Jesus had to. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power. You know, in Chenwet Nu, I told about that place. There was a young guy who came to me. The one eye you could see was missing some stuff. It was the pupil, I think, was gone. Or anyway, he was blind in the one eye, and the other eye was almost blind. And I prayed for him. I prayed for him. And I left, and there was no change. And the eye was still the same. But that doesn't change who God is, and it doesn't change my belief. And I thank God somebody there had a word for him and told him, you're such a creative person, and he makes some kind of artist thing. And they said, you might not do that if your eyes were like everybody else. But I still don't believe, even in that, God's desire is that he remains blind. I still don't believe it. In chapter 2, we have one more little video clip we want to show you. And to me, as I asked the Holy Spirit to come and fall in the place, it just, in my heart, in my spirit, it just seemed the same. It was just like in Acts chapter 2. God just showed up. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came as a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Lord Jesus. Now let's go to Acts 19 as my last scripture that I want to show you. Starting in verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. But when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came and took them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. We were in one of the places over there, and I was praying for somebody who manifested demonically. If you've seen it, you would realize anybody would recognize that's demonic. There's no, it's just, and I just seen something, and it's not that I like to see things to confirm the Bible, because that can, we can get a wrong understanding, because we can take the wrong things and make truth out of it. But as I started to speak in tongues over that person, the demon, it was just like you poured more fire upon it. And it wasn't long, and the person was delivered. And it is possible to be a Christian and not speak in tongues. That's not where I'm going today. But as believers, we need the power of God like never before in our lives. God wants to take us from asking God to do it for us to recognize we are his servants now, and we are sent to go forth and bring delivery and set the captives free. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are just stuck in the works and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to speak a word to you first, and then we'll show this clip. Please forgive me for taking a bit. Many times I questioned if I was truly baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was younger. Many times I knew I could speak in a tongue, but then I would very quickly tell myself, no, that's just me. So sometimes we've asked the Lord and we're expecting, and I've seen this happen to people where God just seemed to take over them in such an amazing way. But that wasn't my experience, okay? So if God does that, I'm going to say praise God for you. But there's also a place of faith, a place of faith that I just believe. God says if we ask, he will give it. So I says, Lord, I need this. I need it. There's no other way. And I just started pressing in to speaking in things that I knew that I couldn't do. I just talked in things that weren't even English. I realized in faith I would rather press into something because I needed it. And God knows if my heart is right, he will surely, it'll be his Spirit. And so it's not that I was looking for a confirmation that I was speaking in tongues or if I was just in biblish, you know, garbage or just my own self. But when you see the person manifesting and then you just start to pray in tongues and then you just see the fire of God come upon them and they start to scream because the fire, God is a fire and he's coming to burn that thing out. And you just say, Lord, please let me never doubt. But we need that. And if that is touching your heart, my heart is, I believe, Corey, I would like to include everybody in the church. I'm not saying everybody isn't baptized in the Spirit. But what I want to do is those of you that are baptized in the Spirit, we have an inner fire burning in us. There is a fire of God that has been planted in our hearts. So when, as you watch this video clip, I had everybody gather close together. So those that had the fire of God burning in them would help ignite the people around them. And then I just simply prayed and asked God for the Spirit of God to fall. And it just came, man. It just came. And God desires that. He's no different there than here. We have to have a desire and a hunger. We have to say, Lord, I need, Lord, this must be you. If it's not you, we got to trust God that he's not going to open you up to demons. If your heart is right, you're not going to all of a sudden land on a demon. That's nonsense. So we play this little clip. It's 3 minutes long. And then I want everybody, right after it's over, don't even let me speak, everyone to come forward. Unless you just can't do this. And God wants to touch you. And I believe some of us maybe are a little stale and we just have an ember and we need to be reignited. And when you gather wood, and they always are building fires in abroad, they use it to cook with, you pull the sticks away and pretty soon it goes out. But you put it together and the flame erupts. So I really believe with all my heart that this is for every person in this place. The world, if it's not for you, it's for those outside of the world. It's for our town. Right, Jason? Our town needs Jesus. Hey, Jason? We do. Our town needs Jesus. The world looks to have fun. It looks like there's fun for a time, but it's shallow and empty, and in the end, it hurts us. So let's just play this, and then we're just going to come. We might push the chairs back. There'll be room. I know there'll be room for everyone.
You can ask God. You can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And we're just going to start to praise Jesus. Just start saying, Jesus, Jesus. And then just start saying different words. Some of you, automatically, new words will just start flying out of your mouth, and it'll just be wow. And then others of you, just say, I'm going to just speak words that I don't understand. Be like a child. Faith of a child. So don't be scared if the words don't come out. Just speak words as a child. And that is a faith. And God said all those were filled. So trust God that whatever words come out of Manakini, the Shindi comes out of Manakini, the Shindi Kiki. Whatever just comes out of your mouth through the Holy Ghost. We just calm. We don't need to just calm. So in Jesus' name, Lord, right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, fall. Lord, I pray that you would fall upon this place. Holy Spirit, fall and sweep. Lord, in the book of Acts, you just came in like a mighty rushing wind. Lord, I don't want this flesh. All flesh go, but the Spirit of God. Shini kini di 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 shini comes up to the kini di shini. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, only your spirit, no other spirit is allowed in this place. In Jesus' name, only the Holy Ghost in this house. Only the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost. All other spirits, I command you to leave. All other spirits are contrary and not allowed in this place.
If you would just come, if you would just come.